Great.
Love you.
Where do you want to go, bro?
I say good morning to you, and it's good to see everybody, and whether I'm standing down there or standing up here, we are standing in the presence of the Lord, so nothing's really changed. Made much difference on where we stand at, because again, I want to reiterate, say it again, we are in the presence of the Almighty God, and that is a fearful thing.
Amen.
And it's good. It's a good thing to be in the presence of the Lord. It's a pleasant thing when He has blessed us and has been shown His mercy and grace to us in a way. It is a wonderful thing to be in the light of His presence, and it's a wonderful thing to be amongst His people. It's a wonderful thing to be in the house of the Lord and hear the good songs being sung and the praise being sung and the voices lifted up. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a blessing. And I think of a lot of times that I've been here over the years and certain memories that I have. As we sung the song, Precious Memories, right? You know, those aren't just natural memories. They may have been at one time. It's funny how God makes your memories new again. To me, it impresses upon me as you drive in and you have a memory that to you in your past has been just a natural memory. You call it nostalgia, right? You just think it's something old and natural, but it's not. Because now God takes that old natural memory and shows you a spiritual lesson in your life that says, this is why it was shown you. This is why you remember this brother saying this thing. This is why those old people really liked their ride to church, and I could never understand it as a kid. Because they were coming to the house of the Lord to worship God Almighty. And it was the best thing they'd done in their life. I apologize, y'all probably don't need these microphones on me. And I don't want to be too loud, but I don't want to hold it back neither. Because I want us to be excited to be in the house of God, because it is where you find your joy. It is where you will find your peace. It is where you will feel the love of God the most. Not that you won't feel the love of God outside of here, but boy, it radiates when you're in the house. Because it's bouncing off of you and you and you and you and going back to God. And it's a wonderful feeling, isn't it? That's why you come, isn't that why you come? And it's free. It doesn't cost you a thing. Somebody was talking to Sister Carol on the way home. We might as well went to Disney World yesterday. Not might as well have. It would have been a waste of time. People spend their whole paychecks, work a whole year's worth of work to go down and take a picture standing next to some mouse. And I'm not criticizing that. God's given us these things. But we have something right here, right in front of us every day that is far better than anything that can give us. And we don't have to chase it. He said, come to me, ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Meaning you come over here, and it's going to make it easy on you. It's going to make it light on you. Yeah, you're going to labor. Yeah, it's going to be tough. Yeah, it's going to be hard because this world is hard. We're in a body of flesh. We fight in affliction. We died in sin. But we have something far better that the world don't know anything about. And brethren, we're blessed this morning to know that. We're not better than anybody else. We've just been blessed. And we need to give all praise, honor, and glory to the Almighty God who's shown it to us. And let's be humble and thankful about it. I don't want to take Brother Daddy's time. I do want to have a scripture on my mind. I want to go to 1 Peter chapter 4. Starting at verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. We've been in the last days since the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, when he ascended back up into heaven. We've been in the last days since then. Man has gotten nothing but wax worse and worse and worse. And I believe that the end, it says here, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Be ye therefore sober. That's not just about taking drinks or having drinks. That's about being in the right frame of mind. How do we get ourselves in the right frame of mind? By watching everything that's outside around us, by cutting the TV on? No, that's not the right frame of mind. That's not sober. That stuff will make you crazy. That stuff's poisonous. That stuff will make you drunk on fear. That stuff will make you want to drink other things to make you feel better about something, and then you don't feel better about nothing because we've messed up at all of it, see? Be ye therefore sober in the word, watching unto prayer, on our knees, praying to God, seeing what he would say. Again, we talk about how much comfort we find when we come into the house of the Lord, which is why we come. So we should turn to those things that we know and we've been taught, that we hear when we come into church on Sundays. Be ye, don't just hear the word, but apply the word in our lives. And say it's not just a place where we come, but when we leave out of here, we take those things that we've heard that and pray to God that he will allow us to apply those in our lives and realize there's something coming. We need to be watching under prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Charity is love. One of the most misused words of man. He takes the word love, puts it on Valentine's Day cards, attaches dollar signs to it, does all kinds of things with the word. That word love is, that charity is, what the example we have is the love that Christ had for us as we were unlovable. We didn't want to have nothing to do with him. We turned and ran away from him. We've constantly left him time and time again. But he's loved us enough over and over to be long-suffering, forbearing, forgiving of us. Never leaving us or forsaking us and fulfilling all of his promises to us and showing his tender mercies and love and kindness to us over and over and over again. And as he's loved us, the commandment here is for us, and not just any old kind of charity or love, but a fervent one. A fervent, that means with some energy. That's not feigned. That's not from the lips. That's from the heart. That's with my action. That's with me, with my energy that the Lord gives me. I should be loving. We should be loving one another with a fervency at each other's feet and service. And we should be looking forward to that. What would thou have me to do? One to another. How can we help one another? I can tell you how we can help one another. I was over here yesterday. I want to go to Colossians, back to Colossians here. And I want to say here's how we can help one another. Colossians 3, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's one way we can show each other we love one another. It'd be nice. Sometimes it's good to communicate with one another throughout the week. It's good to reach out and talk to a brother, isn't it, brother? Isn't it good to pick up the phone and call somebody and say, hey, how you doing? It's good to make a habit out of doing those things. And a lot of times I used to say, I don't have time for this or time for that. Well, I would tell you, you'd be amazed what we have the time to do and how much impact God can make in a real short amount of natural time. God doesn't need months and years to make plans. God speaks and it happens. God commands and it's made. When God works in it, it doesn't have a time stamp on it. A lot of times we feel like we're trying to control everything. I got to have this plan. It's going to take this long and going to do this thing. And I got to get these resources. And I got to put this together. Man, we serve a God that can say, this happens and it happens. It's over. There's nothing that's got to take place other than God speaks and it goes. I don't want to get lost. I probably got lost in my thought there. But I just want to tell you, sometimes we spend a lot of times worrying about things that God takes care of. And we should be watching unto prayer. And we should be loving one another. Amen. We should be praying for one another. We should do that with a fervency. We should where are we spending our energy? Where are we putting it? Am I putting it in the things of this world? Am I feeding the lusts of my flesh? Am I worried about what's in it for me? Most of the time, I feel like I am, and I fight against that. And I want to be cognizant of it. Because I usually find, for me, that when I get to thinking about me and what I need is usually when I get somewhere and things are all messed up. Right? And I go, why are things all messed up? Because we've been following your will, Brother Jimmy. That's why. And that's not the will we're supposed to be following. The will that we're supposed to be following, as Brother Daddy's already told us, is the will of the Lord. What would God have me to do? That's the answer to every question in my whole life. That's the answer to every question in our whole lives. That is our purpose. What is the will of God? How do we know that? The only way we can know that is by reading His Word and studying what it says and hearing what is preached to us through the gospel, which we've been blessed and have an ear to hear that's been made known to us, this mystery that's been hid in Him since the beginning. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. And as every man hath received the gift, that means we've all been given this gift. We've all received it. Whether you're standing here or sitting there, if you have been known, have you been blessed to made known the grace and mercy of the Lord and how good He's been to you? You have a gift. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. That the birthday is the biggest joke in the world. People give you gifts. They ought to give your mama gifts. What they ought to do. We have people take birthday months. You've seen it. If you have a social media account, you've seen it. Your birthday, you didn't do anything. You had nothing to do with it. You don't remember it. You didn't help in any way. Matter of fact, you put other people in pain. And by I say you, I mean me, because we were all born naturally the same way. And I've said it once and I want to say it again. We all had just as much to do with our spiritual birth as we do with our natural birth, which is nothing. God makes us alive and God gives life. Natural, spiritual. That's where it comes from. You don't have anything to do with it. We spend a lot of our life thinking that we do. We spend a lot of our life thinking we ought to be this, that, or the other. And I don't want to be ugly. You enjoy your birthday, y'all. Brother Jimmy said, "Don't enjoy it. Enjoy your birthday. Happy birthday to everybody. Hey, look, I love y'all. And I don't want to be ugly. I don't want to say nothing like that. What I don't want you to do, we didn't have anything to do with it. Enjoy your day, but let's move on. Some of these people out here running around, and we think that's our problem, y'all. That's our problem. That's where we get messed up. A lot of times is we feel that everything revolves around us and what it is for us and what is about it for us. And that's not what it says here. It doesn't say have fervent charity for yourself. It has fervent charity among yourselves for one another that will cover a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. And as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. That word minister means serve. And as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, stewards, you know what a steward is? You don't own it. It don't belong to you. You're a steward of something. It's been given to you to take care of. It's been put to you and given to you to handle and take care of, do the maintenance on it, make sure we're doing the right thing. You're a steward of what? The manifold grace of God. Grace is unmerited favor of God, and manifold means it comes in many different flavors and colors. It's diverse. And I speak as a man when I say flavors and colors. What I'm talking about is when you walk into Baskin Robbins, they got 31 flavors of ice cream. God's got grace for every situation you may have in your life. A custom-made, one-size-fits-all. The world don't have that. Go ask them for it. I want a custom-made for me, but it's got to fit everybody. You won't find that nowhere. They'll look at you like you got three heads. But God does it every day. Custom-made, one-size-fits-all for you and for you and for me and for every one of His elect. He knows their individual needs and gives them exactly what they need, and it covers every one of His elect and doesn't leave a one out. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. I believe that says we ought to be speaking about what God would have us to speak on and His word. And if any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. So whatever ability God has given us, we're supposed to use every bit of it in the full direction to glorify Jesus Christ. Everything that we do ought to be to His praise and His honor and His glory. Every step that we walk, every action that we take, everything that we do ought to be praising God. I'll close on this one. Colossians 3. I never did get out of there yesterday. Colossians 3. Sometimes, there we go. Verse 17 says, "And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed." I've heard Brother Daddy say, if you the top person at your job, are you the person that sweeps the floors, are you the doorkeeper, or whatever your position is, whatsoever ye do, whether it's here or outside, or whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, how you walk, how you talk, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. We are never alone, brethren. We are never outside of His providential care. We are never outside of His vision. We are never outside of God's scope. We are never not in His line of sight. He knows everything about us. He's omnipresent and He's omniscient. That means He knows everything about you inside and out, to the most personal things. You don't think nobody else knows, He knows them. And he loves us anyway. And that is a wonderful thing. And he's shown us time and time again how good he's been to us. I thank you all for your kind attention this morning. I love each and every one of you. I'm really thankful for this church. I'm thankful for these brethren. I'm thankful to our good Lord who's been merciful and gracious to us. Please pray that he will continue to bless not just my efforts, but this little church, Brother Daddy, and everyone that's in it. Pray that he will bless us to continue to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth and walk in the right direction and do what we're supposed to do as a church. Thank you. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. I appreciate you.
I love you.
Sing a verse of Just As I Am.
Just as I am,
sit under the sound of the gospel and to sing the songs that honor and glorify the Lord and to have sweet fellowship with the Lord's people. If it were not for God's grace, we would not have any desire or hunger or thirst for any of those things. But because of what the Lord's done for us, we need this instruction. We need to be taught from the Word of God. We need what God has left on record for us. We need the Lord's church. We need the house of God. We need the fellowship of the brethren.
Amen.
We need to exhort one another and help one another in life. As we live along in the troubled world, we need answers for problems that we simply don't have in and of ourselves. Please pray for me as I come before you and appreciate the things that we've heard. Many of the thoughts Brother Jimmy had are some of the same thoughts that I've had in my mind today, and pray that the Lord will just supply what I need as I stand before you. I do ask an interest in your prayers, as Brother Jimmy has said, to remember to pray for your ministers that stand before you. I surely feel that need of your prayers as your pastor, that if I'm going to pastor in a way that's honoring and glorifying to God, I need the Lord's blessing in my study. I need the Lord's blessing in my efforts to preach. I need the Lord's blessing in my efforts to communicate with you the things that I feel the Lord would have me share. And above everything, I need to follow Him. I need to trust in Him more, lean upon Him more. And sometimes I find myself doing just what we've heard about, trying to get it all figured out myself. And what we end up doing is things incorrectly when we follow our way rather than His way. We have to understand our thoughts are not like His thoughts, and our ways are not like His ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, His ways and thoughts are above our ways and thoughts.
Amen.
And so we have that battle, and you and I carry that battle with us all the time in this old flesh that we have. As long as we're still in the body, we have a warfare that's going on. If you're a little child of grace, you have that Spirit of God that's in you, that's born of God, that cannot sin. 1 John says that he that's born of God sinneth not. Now, we have to rightly divide that and understand that. That doesn't mean that we don't, as people, sin. We know that's taught in the Scripture as well, that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's none good, no, not one. And that even when we would do good, we find evil present with us. And Paul said that in me, as he looked at himself, he says, I look in me, and in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And we all came in today in the flesh. But I don't believe it was just in the flesh. I believe we have the Spirit also.
Right.
The Spirit was not something we developed. We were born of the Spirit of God. If we have the Spirit of God, we were quickened and made alive by God when He worked in us. Prior to regeneration, all we were natural men with natural minds, natural women with natural minds. And the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, would not be concerned about them, hungry about them, or wanting them. It took a work of grace, a work of Almighty God upon you in order for you to become spiritually minded or have a spiritual mind. And until that happens, anything that you read out of the Bible or that's preached by a gospel ministry, even if it's expounded and given exactly correctly, will be of no benefit to you until the Lord first works in your heart. That's a work of grace. That Amen. Happens by Almighty God.
Amen.
Like Brother Jimmy said, you didn't do anything to earn that. You didn't do anything to merit that. You didn't cause that to be. Ye who are sometimes darkness are made light in the Lord. And therefore, as the children of light, we're supposed to walk as children of light.
That's right.
And that was a work of grace done by Almighty God. Now, a lot of times we spend our thoughts, am I really one of His or am I just deceiving myself? Well, let me encourage you that if you love the Lord or if you want to love the Lord, that's a good evidence that you belong to Him, because if you love the Lord's people, we know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. If you love being around God's children, there's a reason for that. Sometimes I'm talking to Brother Jamie, and I said, Brother Jamie, I call people, and sometimes they don't answer the phone. Brother Jamie said, Brother Gary, there's a reason for that. And I said, thank you, Brother Jamie, you're a lot of help. If you love God's people, there's a reason for that.
Yes, amen.
If you love singing hymns, there's a reason for that. If you love reading your Bible, there's a reason for that. If sin troubles you and bothers you, even when you find it in yourself and it troubles you and bothers you, there's a reason for that. If you want to love the Lord more and even worry that you don't love Him enough, and you don't, and I don't, and that troubles you, there's a reason for that. And that reason is that the God of heaven loved you even before the foundation of the world, even before you existed. He in His omniscience, He knew you. He didn't just know you that way. He knew you in that He loved you, and He foreknew you, and He predestinated, Amen. He predetermined that you would be in His family. Amen. He adopted you, and He worked a work of grace in your life and born in you again. And He didn't just adopt you and bring you in without a nature. He worked a new birth in you where He put His nature in you. And that's why he that's born of God sinneth not, because the nature of God is in him and he cannot sin. That is, the Amen. Spiritual man that you are cannot sin. There's a part of you, if you're born of God and belong to Him, that cannot sin. It cannot sin because it is born again. It is alive. It's the Spirit of God. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that has an impact. There's a reason that you have all of those things that you wouldn't have otherwise. But then again, we've got another battle, because we have this old flesh to contend with. And in that flesh, well, in my flesh, and your flesh, and the preacher's flesh, and the brother in the pew's flesh, and the sister in the pew's, and the deacon, and the little ones, the whatever age you are, in your flesh dwelleth no good thing.
That's right.
And we have a battle. And that battle is to put off that old man and put on the new man. And that's the warfare. That's the fight.
That's right.
I've said all about all I'm going to say, and now I'm going to read you the text. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll begin reading at verse 15. He says, "Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And the word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to dishonor, and some to honor, and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife." He said to study. Study is a lifelong process. Study is what we're to do. Study is an activity that he's telling the young preacher Timothy, you be involved in studying. And he didn't just say study anything. He's telling us to study the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's telling us to study the Word. He says, study to shew thyself approved unto God. And remember that our approval is not coming from men, but it comes from God. We want to be approved unto God. We want to walk pleasing unto God. I ought to be concerned more about pleasing the Lord today than I am about anyone else. As I make an effort to preach, I ought to be more concerned about pleasing the Lord rather than concerned about pleasing the congregation, the hearer of which I'm saying. I ought to be more concerned than anything else that I'm following the way the Lord would lead me and the Lord would direct me and what the Lord has taught me to do as a minister of the gospel and what he's taught you to do as a brother and a sister in Christ is that we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That means we're to go to God's Word and we're to search it and we're to study it. Over in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 4, he tells the young preacher Timothy there this wonderful truth about what we ought to be doing as God's children. He says in verse 14, he says, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery." Now, the gift that was given to him was given to him by Almighty God. It was given by prophecy in the sense that Timothy was prophesied about in the church that he was going to be. And there were those that stood that said that he was going to be a minister of the gospel. The Lord allowed those to see that. That prophecy didn't give him the gift. God gave him the gift. But the prophecy pointed to the fact that God was going to do that. And that came to true in the life of Timothy. And then the laying on of the hands of the presbytery didn't give him the gift. It simply was the church's acknowledgement that a gift had been given to this brother by the Lord. You know where all gifts come from? They come from the Lord. So every good and perfect gift coming down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. But he told that minister, as he tells each of us here in the Word of God, that we're not to neglect that which the Lord has done for us and that which the Lord is doing for us. He says, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which is given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery." He said, "Meditate upon them." Meditate upon these things. That means the things that are in God's Word, We're to study them and not just read them, but to meditate upon them. I want to get verse 13. He says, till I come, give attendance to reading. So what's really important? That you're reading the Word of God. And I can't encourage you enough here. At this little church, and for all of those that are listening, wherever they are, you spend time reading the Word of God. You spend time in this book.
Amen.
The Bible itself says it's good for you.
That's right.
To be reading the Word of God. I've been looking at an Old Testament passage about honey that says honey is good for you and the honeycomb is sweet to the taste. And I found that to be the case, that honey has been good for me. When I had a throat that was giving me some trouble and some sinus problems and other things, I was able to put a little honey in with some ginger tea. And it helped me about as much as anything that I was taking as far as clearing my throat and my sinuses and the Bible clearly tells me in the Word of God, I don't have to have a scientific lesson on that. I can go to the Word of God and it says, honey is good for you. Honey is good for you. And then it goes on, let's just turn to that. I'm kind of being led there, so
there you go,
I better go. Let's go, I believe. Might need help. Proverbs 28, I believe. Proverbs 24.
There you go.
Proverbs 24 and verse 13 says this. He says, my son, eat thou honey because it is good. Do you know that just settles it? You can just go to the Word of God and you can just read it. And you, somebody say, well, is honey good for you? You know what I can say? 100% without a doubt. No question about it. I don't care who lines up on the other side and says it's not good for you. I don't care what anybody might say, what anybody's ideas and thoughts. Oh, you better not do this. You better not do that. I'm telling you, when you come to this Bible and you take a word from this Bible, you can count on it being good. How do I know honey's good? Because God says it. Somebody said, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. You can take I believe it out of it. God said it, that settles it. Now, you ought to believe it. He says, my son, eat thou honey, because it is good. And then he says, and the honeycomb, which is sweet to thy taste. And it is. And it'll be good for you. Now you can go online and you can Dr. Google that and you'll find there are many reasons that it's good for you. It's an anti-inflammatory, it's an antioxidant, it has all kinds of beneficial properties, it's an antibacterial, it has many things. That's good about honey. But I didn't need all of that, although the true science will say it's true. And you know that's true for everything in the Bible,
yeah,
including the creation of this world.
That's right.
True science is going to line up with the Word of God.
Amen.
And if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, you
true.
Can say it's science, falsely so-called.
Amen.
It's not the truth. And so we can stand on that as the Word of God. Isn't that a comfort to know? That in the Bible we have a source of truth. Now he says, my son, eat thou honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste. Now he's told us to study to show ourselves approved unto God. You know why? Because it's like the honey. It's good for you. We need to have this instruction. Now get verse 14 here, Proverbs 24. He says, so, that means just like that, shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. In other words, just like honey is good for you physically, this Word of God is good for you spiritually. Just like honey has a benefit to you, whether you understand it or not, you can settle, it's settled in the Word of God, right?
Yeah.
Just like that's true, it says, so shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. You know who wisdom is? Wisdom has a name. Christ Jesus has been made unto us what? Does the Apostle Paul tell us? Christ Jesus has been made unto us wisdom.
Amen.
And righteousness and sanctification and redemption. We have in the Lord Jesus Christ a wisdom been given to us. And then we have His Word that declares Him.
Amen.
That is wisdom. And I'm telling you, just like honey is good to your physical body, this Word, hearing about Jesus and the words of Jesus, He said this, he that keepeth my word, he that heareth my word and keepeth my word, I liken him unto a wise man who builds his house upon a rock. who digs deep and builds his house upon a rock. And when the storms come, not if, but when those storms come, are you going to be hit by this storm and that storm? Your house is going to stand when it's built on the wisdom that comes from the Lord. Amen. Just as good as honey is good for you, this word of God is good for you. He says, so shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, get it. When thou hast found it, how did you find it? You think you just fell upon it? No, I'm telling you. If you see it today, it's because He opened your eyes. Amen. He opened your ears. He opened your heart. He allowed you to see it. But when you have found it and you labor searching for it, but when you found it, He says, then there shall be a reward. Now that reward is not out of merit. It's not something you've earned. It's a reward of grace that comes to you. And that word really means a bright future. That's what your reward means. That means you have a sweet, sweet hope in the Lord. And he goes on and he says, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. That when we look to the Lord and lean upon him and trust his word, we have every reason to be encouraged, because just like honey is good for you, his word and his instruction is also good for you. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And he says, but shun means to avoid, to refuse, to reject all those things that are profane and vain babblings. What are profane and vain babblings? They are things that are not in accord with the word of God, and they are things that do not honor and glorify God and praise him. And if we say, well, it really doesn't matter what the preacher preaches, listen, it does.
Amen.
It's important that we're standing for the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, that we're preaching grace and grace alone, that we're sharing with God's children what they ought to be doing in a way that God gives it to us in his word. And he says, we're to shun profane and vain babblings. Somebody said, well, what does it really hurt? Well, here's what the Bible says. For they will what? They will increase. If we just let them go, they will increase. If you have them in your thoughts, that's not going to help you. It's going to get worse. If you continue to build on those things, it'll get worse. He said, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker. That's like gangrene. Once it takes hold of a body, it will take you, it will destroy your family, it will destroy your life, it'll destroy your church. We're not to have any of those things. That's why it's important that we stand firm for the truth, and the faith wants to live it to the saints.
Amen.
And that we don't err to the right or to the left. Somebody said, does it really matter if God's going to take us home to glory? Does it matter what we believe? I say to you, yes. Amen. It matters what you believe. It won't affect you eternally, but it sure will impact you here in this time world.
Amen.
He says, their word will eat it doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. There were two that they could mention that had gone off into a false doctrine, and that doctrine was that the resurrection was past already. Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already. I'm sure glad to believe today that the resurrection isn't passed already, aren't you? I'm thankful that we believe there's a resurrection that's coming. In other words, the Lord's going to return. There's going to be the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ are going to rise again. And he says that the resurrection is passed already, and overthrow the faith of some. That overthrew the faith of some. Verse 19, and we'll close with this. He says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, yeah, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his.
Amen.
And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. What this is clearly saying is that, listen, what we believe is not going to change our eternal destiny and our eternal home. That foundation stands sure. Everyone God foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. Every one of them will be with him in heaven in immortal glory, because Jesus justify them. Every one of them will be effectually called by the power of the Holy Spirit. Every one of them on the morning of the resurrection will be glorified and made and fashioned like unto Him. We'll meet the Lord in there, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And we can praise God for that. That's just as sure as it can be. The foundation of God standeth sure. It has this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. But notice this. He says, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. What does that mean? It means I want to live better because of that. I want to act better, behave better, and talk better. And I appreciate your kind attention this morning. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. Love you, brother. Pray for me.